place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I am so happy you're here today. We have a very special guest in the studio with us. Welcome to the show, Jessica Lynn.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
It is great to see you. I know you're a day ahead of us. So in my side of the world, it's a Tuesday. You're already in Wednesday. How's Wednesday looking?
It's looking pretty good. The future is bright.
That is wonderful. Well, I love that we can connect globally from Cincinnati, Ohio to Melbourne, Australia. And I will be telling my audience a little bit about your background. So Jessica Lynn is a gifted medium whose extraordinary abilities have intrigued and captivated seekers looking for connections beyond the material world. Emerging as a guiding light and source of comfort, Jessica assists those in search of reconnecting with departed loved ones. Using her profound spiritual insight and empathetic approach, Jessica Lynn has dedicated her life to bridging the gap between the living and the spirit world. Jessica has had the honor and privilege for reading for an array of celebrities, professional athletes, musicians, and business owners. She has recently been featured on The Morning Show, 7 News, The Australian, Marie Claire, Mama Mia, and Body and Soul, just to name a few. Jessica conducts her readings online so she can connect with clients all over the world. If you would like to connect with her, you can follow her on her social. Instagram is Jessica Lynn Mediumship, and her website is jessicalynnmediumship.com. Or you could talk to her on her podcast, Talk Spirit to Me, ranked number 2 on the Apple charts for spirituality. I love that name, Talk Spirit to Me. You can also listen to her podcast on Spotify. So tell us about your story. When did you realize you had the gift of mediumship? And how did that come about? Like, who was your first connection with?
Yeah, so I've always had a very strong intuition. It's just been something that's been within me. But I kind of started to notice it more so coming into like my teenage years. My nana passed away when I was 12, and this curiosity just kind of came over me. She was sort of like a mum to me. And I was like, there's got to be more to life than this. Like, you can't just die and then like, that's it. So I became very curious about the other side. She was cremated, and I used to just sit there with her ashes box, and I would just talk to her like I would talk to her if she was here. And I started to notice that this really beautiful smell used to come from this wooden ashes box. It was obviously a woody, sweet smell, but every time I would sit there and talk to her, it sort of just started to fill the room, this beautiful aroma. And I was like, that's strange. I'm like, I wonder if anybody else can smell this like I can. And I'm like, I'm just going to test this out. So like, I would sit with it and I'd be like, put my hand on it. And then all of a sudden the room would start to fill. And then I started to smell it when I wasn't even near the ashes box. So now one of my symbols for her is that really woody smell. I'd be in the supermarket and I'd be like sensing it. So kind of cool. But that was my first like true experience myself with someone on the other side. But it wasn't until I was like in my 20s, I guess, that I started to really dive into mediumship for myself to read for other people. So I was doing meditation classes when I was like 20, sitting there at the local crystal shop with like-minded women who were like so many more years above me and just had so much experience. And there's this little girl like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I was just so enthusiastic about all things. But I ended up stumbling across this psychic medium. And I was obsessed with mediums, by the way. Like, I would be going to all the mind, body, soul, spirit festivals, and I'd be getting everyone to read me and my cards, and I was just a junkie for this stuff. And I met this medium, and she's like, Jess, I don't know why you're here. You should be on the other side of this, like turning on and off like a light switch. And I was like, what? As if I can do this. I hope that I can. Who knows? And then it was a few years later, I met this medium that I loved, and she was really direct and blunt. And I was like, I like you because you're just straight shooter. Like, you're not messing around. And she ended up doing a course. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to this. I'm going to see what this is all about. So I ended up dragging one of my friends who just loves spirituality like me. And I was like, let's just go to this like day course and see what happens. Within the first 10 minutes, she showed us how to connect to spirit. And it literally was like somebody had turned this light switch off in my mind. And I sat there in front of a complete stranger, reading for them, bringing through their dad. First experience I've ever had. And it was weird. It was like someone had opened these floodgates and all this information just started like flying through. It's like I'd had amnesia for all these years. And then finally I could remember what I was supposed to be doing. Truly fascinating.
And that, well, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. How long after that class where you learned how to open the floodgates did it take for you to be a full-time medium? And did you have like regular jobs along the way?
Yeah, so I did that like one day course, and then I ended up doing more training with this same medium. So she ended up coaching me for about 2 years. I did one-on-one like sessions with her, and I did another intermediate course that she had. And then I read for free throughout that 2 years. Like, I would read for anyone. I'm like, anyone, come one, come all, just let me practice. Because like anything, I think the more that you do, the more confident that you become. One of the things in mediumship is you have to be confident in what you're receiving, because if you're not confident and you're not just going to go for it, you're never going to get the connection that you hope to achieve. So I had to get that confidence up and also build my symbology in my mind too. It's like you create this keyboard of symbology and symbols in your head, and when spirit comes through, they like press all the buttons. They're like, that one. And they're like, that one. You're like, oh, cool. So you want me to talk about this or that? But it takes time to build that up so that I know what I'm talking about and they know what buttons to push. So you kind of have to get that practice in, I guess. But it wasn't until, yeah, I guess 2 years down the track, I had other jobs. I was an executive assistant to a high-end fashion brand, celebrity designer. Like, I had climbed the corporate ladder. I was where I wanted to be, where I'd always wanted to be. And I thought that I'd made it. And then all of a sudden, this mediumship started creeping through. And I thought, maybe I have another path here. And I ended up sort of being slowly pushed by spirit to do it a little bit more, a little bit more. But I did it part-time for ages. And I started getting to the point where I was booked out for a whole year of my part-time hours. I had a wait list of 800 people.
Oh, like, my God.
It was getting insane. And I ended up going, oh, maybe now that they've shown me that there's interest in people like reading for them, maybe I could do this full time. And I took the leap. Only after I had that many people on my waiting list was I convinced. It's quite funny.
That is so great. Well, I'm a business coach for spiritual entrepreneurs, and I do teach them it's okay to have multiple streams of income, and don't quit your job right away because you don't want to be in survival mode. You want to start your business from contribution, not desperation. And then when you feel comfortable leaving your traditional job and being an entrepreneur full time, then you can make the jump. And that's exactly what you did. So that is great. Well, 800 people waiting list. They're like lined up around the block to hear your readings. You must be quite accurate. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us, what is the difference between your intuition and a gut feeling?
So it's interesting. It's sort of like a bit, I kind of see it as a bit intertwined. I feel like when we have that really strong gut instinct that we need to do something or that something's not right, it kind of is your intuition. It's saying, that ain't so good, or you know what, maybe take a chance on that. So I sort of see it as something that I guess when you're connected to, it helps to really guide you in the right direction. I think a lot of the time, particularly when you go through a lot of changes in your life, like if you become a mom or you completely shift who you are in some way, shape, or form, we kind of lose our sense of self sometimes. And that intuition,
especially as women.
Yes. And I think too, even in some relationships you have, you might be so reliant on somebody else to call the shots that when someone finally asks you, hey, what do you think about that? You don't really even know. You're like, I don't know, you decide kind of thing. And I think I see a lot of women who are in that situation where, you know, they're in perhaps toxic relationships or they're in that narcissistic codependent energy with someone in their family and they've lost their ability to be able to ask themselves what they think about something. And it's really sad to see. But I guess you have to notice that and you have to be aware of that. And then you have to start to ask yourself questions every single day. And that's something that I'm really big on. Like even just little stuff. How do I feel today? What do I think about that? Do I really want to do that? Or do I think I'm doing that because I think that that will make that person happy but doesn't really make me happy? I think once you start to connect back to who you are and what you think, your intuition and that gut instinct starts to grow again. And that's how you can come sort of full circle. But yeah, I kind of feel like it's a bit intertwined, both of those things.
I feel like women have been so socialized to be people pleasers and just to see themselves in the eyes of others that they don't really even know what they want or what their intuition is telling them to do. So what would be a good question just to start reigniting the relationship between a woman and her intuition?
I think that it's actually not that complicated. It can be so simple, these questions that you start to ask yourself. I think one of the big ones that I ask myself most days is, how am I feeling today? What do I need today? What do I need right now? It could be, God, I'm dehydrated. So dehydrated. I feel like I need a lot of water today. Or, you know what, I don't have it in me today to be confrontational. So I'm not. I'm kind of going to let myself cruise through the day. I'm going to ride the wave. I guess. Allow yourself the permission to be able to ride the wave of your energy. We're not always high energy. Sometimes we're in a bit of a lower vibration. Obviously, we don't want to stay that low, but you've got to allow yourself to ebb and flow. So I think giving yourself permission to be able to feel and not be mean to yourself. It's actually funny. I was just thinking, you know, when you get like, you're very emotional, let's just say you're an empath and you're always feeling very deeply. My God, I feel so sad about that. My gosh, I don't know why I can't get over that. Why can't I forget about that person? Why can't I just get over it like other people? That is so mean to you. You've got to stop doing that stuff to yourself because your feeling is actually your superpower. Your ability to clear is your superpower. So you're telling yourself that you're empathic ability and your ability to be able to care for someone is something that you should stop. I don't think so. So stop being mean to yourself if you're hanging on to something. Be like, I'm holding on to it for a reason. I'm just going to work through it, but I'm not going to be mean to myself for caring about others and caring about stuff.
I think there's a fine line between just living in the self-pity of something versus you have to process it. Like, you know, toxic positivity is let's just put a smiley face on everything and be high vibe and not feel our feelings. And I think that is like pushing them into your body, which could cause dis-ease. So when we come back from this quick commercial break, I want you to talk about how do you suggest that people feel their feelings and move through them without, you know, suppressing them, but also not just milking, like having too much of a pity party, because sometimes people identify so much with their sad feelings that they become sad versus like letting them move through you kind of like the weather. So everybody, you are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show with Rebecca Whitman. I am interviewing world famous psychic medium Jessica Lynn, who's been in Marie Claire magazine and has a waiting list, you know, miles long to get her reading. She's so wise, and she's going to be talking about the difference between gut feelings, intuition, how to move through feelings, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. We are here at the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. So Jessica Lynn, what do we do when we have these heavy, sad feelings coming up? Because especially the state of the world is, it's heavy. And if you're an empath and you feel these feelings, how do you move through these feelings and be authentic, but also stay high vibe so you can manifest the life that you want?
It's hard. it is not easy. I just did this yesterday. So this is very fresh for me. So just as an aside, I had a cold for like a week, like terrible flu cold, felt terrible. And I reckon it was like COVID-ish because I felt very depressed. So in my head, sorry. I wasn't just, oh, no, it's okay. I was like, my gosh, I feel so terrible. And it wasn't just I feel bad for myself because I was sick. I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I have to question all the choices of my life. Why am I here? What is the point in all of this? I have no motivation. Like, I was completely in this, like, dark shell. And the first thing that I did was acknowledge that. Go, you know what? This isn't like me. I'm not normally this way. So this, something's up. Something's wrong. It's obviously my illness, but I feel like for other people, you need to question why you're actually feeling that way. Why am I feeling so sad right now? Oh, it's because my dad just died. That's okay. That's normal. That's normal to grieve. It's normal to feel like this. So trying to, I guess, at the start, acknowledge what the actual situation is and giving yourself permission to feel the way that you do. Maybe you just got divorced. That's why you're sad, because you're processing. So I think acknowledging the why is really important first, and then giving yourself permission to feel the things that you're feeling. For me, yesterday, I know it's not the same thing as grief when you have a cold, but same concept, I guess. I looked at it and I was like, okay, what is actually realistic here, and what is just my mind trying to do to me? Is my mind trying to prepare me for something? Is it trying to catastrophize something? I think you kind of have to look at yourself from that bird's eye view.
Well,
that
actually helps. Like, sorry to interrupt, but grief is like an emotional cold. That's how I think of grief. Like, just like a cold, we want it to be over in 2 days, but sometimes it can take 2 weeks. It's just like your body has to process this virus. Bacteria through when it does, and then it's done when it's done. And I think of grief the same way. It's like an emotional cold.
It is, absolutely. And you can't hurry it up. You can't, you know, wish it away. You kind of have to allow yourself to ride the wave. And it's not easy. It's not. But the thing for me is I really try hard to find little tiny things throughout my day to look forward to. It can be tiny. It can be, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm so surrounded by grief right now. I feel like crap, but I'm really looking forward to sitting down tonight and watching The Real Housewives, let's say. Or it could be, I'm so looking forward to my bath, or I'm going to hug my dog tonight. Like, simple little things, I promise you, those little pockets of time, they make such a difference. It doesn't have to be an overseas holiday you're looking forward to. It can be something so small, because then it starts to bring that little speckle of light back into you, and it just takes those little speckles and those little cracks to start to raise your vibration. It doesn't have to be, you know, big stuff that's changing your life and you go from, you know, A to Z. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be little things along the way, and then you start to feel a little bit lighter as time goes on. You have to be patient with yourself.
I totally agree. That's where the joy is. It's in the simple pleasures of life. So what did you do yesterday to lift your vibration when you were feeling so low?
Yeah. So for me, the thing that actually lifted me out of it was laughing. So my wife and I went for a walk, and I was like, God, I'm super depressed. And she's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, I think I've been having all these weird epiphanies, and I've been posting really random stuff. And she's like, yeah, I know you have. So then we started laughing about all these epiphanies that I've been having and the things that I've been trying to do when I haven't been in the right frame of mind to do them. So it was literally us walking and talking about how funny some of the things are that I've been doing. It instantly raised my vibration. So maybe it's that you guys talk to one of your friends, tell them to tell you about something that's funny, or reminisce about something that you guys have done together. Get on your phone, watch funny reels, like watch, I don't know, funniest home video stuff. I don't know, whatever it might be, but laughing is medicine, I'm telling you. Instantly, I felt different just by laughing at myself for like 5 minutes. And I was like, wow, I feel really good. Then we had a nice dinner, and then I watched The Housewives. And I woke up this morning and I was like, feeling a lot better today. I think today's going to be an all right day. So I'm telling you, sometimes just laughing and then sleeping on it and remembering that tomorrow's a brand new day, get to start again, sometimes that really helps.
And which housewives do you like to watch?
Oh, I love a lot. I love Beverly Hills, of Orange County. I did love Melbourne when that was here. What else? I like Miami. I'm a fan.
Now, that's surprising to me because you're spiritual and you're such a deep thinker. I guess that you need to kind of like decompress by such a shallow show.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love all the trash, all the gossip about it. I just like being in somebody else's world. I think it's nice sometimes. I don't like to walk around with like the, you know, the spiritual, like, you know, realm of I'm all serious and I'm deep and I'm funny. Like, I just love to like talk crap and have fun and all the things. So quite a dynamic person.
Yes, you are. Now, are you allowed to tell me which celebrities you've read for?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tamin Sersok. Sonia Morgan from New York Housewives. I forgot. I love that one.
There you go.
Who else have I read for?
You manifested that by being such a Housewives fan.
Oh, I reckon I did. I definitely did. I was like, I'm going to get Sonia Morgan one day. And it was only recently, over the last like month. So, and she's so awesome. But in saying that, it's so interesting when you see somebody on TV and then you actually talk to them. Like, yes, she's exactly the way that you would think that she would be. But when you connect with someone on that spiritual level and on that deeper level and you actually feel who they are as a person, like such a different energy. So, yeah, I don't fangirl when I read for people because everyone's just like everyone else, but it was kind of cool. I have to admit.
That is really cool. So how can we manifest our dream life? Speaking of manifestation.
I love manifestation. It is the absolute best. I think that you have to believe that you're worthy. Mm. This is the thing. I think that some people are like, oh, I want this for my life. I want this and this and this. And it's like, okay, cool. So that's your idea, your ideal scenario. But how are you going to get there? And do you actually think that you deserve that? So that piece of the puzzle is really important. That confidence, I guess, that you have, that it can actually come to fruition. But I think when people sometimes think of manifestation, they think, oh, I'm just going to write something down and then poof, it's just going to appear, and it's not always the way. You have to do the work too. It's kind of like a dance that you do with the spirit world. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to write down what I want, and then I'm going to show you that so you can see what I've written, or you can see what I'm thinking and what I'm trying to call into my life. But then you sort of have to listen to the subtle, I guess, signs from spirit about what you need to do to get there. So it's those aligned actions that are really important. So if you want a new job and you're manifesting this new abundant job, then you have to firstly believe that you deserve a new job and that you're going to work towards it. But you have to start throwing your applications out there, start having conversations, and spirit will then put people in front of you that you need to meet. Or they'll throw you into the pile of something, or they'll do those little things around the edges and put in the good word for you. But you have to be the person standing there doing all the things to make that happen. So that's where I feel like people get stuck. They write it down and they're waiting for things to just appear. But you also have to do the work in a way.
There's action involved. I mean, if you say you want to be a millionaire, you know, manifest a soulmate, and then you just sit at home meditating.
Yes.
You have to go out on the dates and you have to like go to the business meetings and hire a coach and do all the things. So, but I think what you said about God will, or source, whatever you want to call it, will put the people in your place. Like they'll bring you the right people to help you, but then it's up to you to trust, to go back to the first question, to trust your intuition, to take the action. And a lot of people are scared to get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
So what would you tell someone who, gosh, I have the intuition to go on a date with this person or hire this coach or go to this, you know, seminar like you did, but it's so like out of my comfort zone, but I have this intuition that maybe I should. How would you coach someone about that?
I think it's the answer to this is easier said than done, but you kind of just have to do it scared.
Yeah, it's okay to play scared, right?
You do. You have to. You just have to do it scared, because I'm telling you, the things that we do that scare the absolute hell out of us are where we get the most out of it, or that's when you get that like rush of adrenaline and then you believe in yourself so much more. It's how you grow. That's growth. It's like, oh, I was so scared to do that, but I did that anyway. I'm so proud of myself. And you're validating yourself. You're not needing anybody else to tell you how great that was because you felt that. You knew that that was something that was so cool for you to do. So my advice, do it scared and stand there and be brave. And I'm telling you, it will probably be one of the best things that you've ever done.
I know you've read for a lot of professional athletes and, you know, wealthy people. I'm sure your readings, you know, are not free. So people have to be at a certain level to even get a reading from you. So many wealthy people that I know are like, I had the most fun during the climb to the top. Like it was in the struggle and it was in the fear and just moving through all that and then getting to the other side. Like, that was like where the true joy of the journey was, not being at the peak of the mountain. What mm-hmm. is your experience with that? Because I know you've climbed, you know, from being like in corporate to being this world-renowned reader. Mm-hmm. What was your experience with, did you enjoy the climb to the top?
I think it can be really fun. It's bloody hard, but yes. It can be fun along the way. And I think that you need to enjoy the fun in it. And like, I'm a little bit scrappy. That's just my personality. So if someone tells me I can't do something, I'm like, cool story, bro. Watch this space. Like, I've got that like competitive like edge within me. So I'm kind of in competition with myself most of the time. I feel like I'm like, come on, girl. Like, what's next? Let's go. Let's go. So I think that for me, I've enjoyed this process. It hasn't always been easy. I've been terrified this whole time. Like, I went from earning really good money as an executive assistant. And I thought that was all that I was going to be able to earn. And, you know, I had security there. I was like, oh, okay, this is security for me. I know what I'm getting paid, la, la, la. And I come from a really, I guess, tumultuous background. So I had a very unstable childhood. So stability for me is everything. And it was really hard for me to remove myself from stability to something that is so free flowing and I don't have the answers and I don't have stability. So I know what you guys are feeling if you're not wanting to be courageous about removing stability from your life to something that's a bit unknown. But I'm telling you, I've never been more abundant, ever. Never ever in my wildest dreams would I think that I would have this many people wanting to have readings for me, like from me. I didn't think that my potential to earn, which is not what it's all about, but we have to live, you know. I never thought that this would be possible for me. But it was when I decided to take a chance on myself that everything changed. So I'm telling you, if you feel called to something and you don't know why, take the baby steps to go on that path just to see what it's all about. Dip your toe in the water because it may just be something that completely changes your world and you never thought possible, but you kind of have to believe in you.
That is so beautiful. What you just said is going to really, it's going to affect somebody. So you heard it from Jessica. She has done exactly what we're all trying to do listening to this show, made it as an entrepreneur beyond her wildest dreams, and she did it scared and it was hard, and that's just part of the deal. So we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. We will be right back. You're listening to Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show with world-renowned psychic medium Jessica Lynn. And when we come back, we're going to ask her how we can connect with our loved ones on the other side. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Rebecca, your host, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. So, Jessica, how can we communicate with our dear loved ones who have passed on to the other side?
I absolutely love this question because I am a strong believer that you don't need a psychic medium to connect with your loved ones every day. you can do that yourself. And some people have a stronger connection than others. Some people say, oh, Jess, I can't connect. I try and nothing comes through and I don't get any signs and I don't feel my loved ones around me. I don't know what's wrong with me. My friend always feels their grandma and they get signs and I don't, kind of thing. And my advice to you is ask. Just ask. Be like, you know what, grandma, I want you to send me a red balloon today. You know, send me a red balloon. I'd love it. Be specific. Like, they like to play. I'm telling you, they like to be challenged. So be specific about something that is ridiculous. Don't just say, show me a bird. Be like, I want to see a disco ball. I'm telling you, they will find a way to be able to show you that. It may just be the person in the supermarket standing in front of you has a little disco ball key ring chain on their keys. It could be so
pay attention once you ask for your sign. I love Abraham Hicks. They asked to see blue glass and butterflies and they saw blue glass and butterflies that day. So it's like, that's so specific, but you can ask for a specific sign.
Yeah, and it works. But you have to be patient too.
Once you connect, do you talk to them just like they're right there?
Yeah, so I talk a lot in my head. I've always sort of done that. I'm like, you know what, a lot of people probably do that too. Oh, mom, I hope you're hearing this. I hope you see this and la la. And you kind of talk to them as if they're still here. I know that some of my family members, you know, they say hello and good night to their loved ones on the other side. I think if you still want to have them in your life, they want to be there. So the more that you include them, talk about them, do things for them, try to keep their legacy alive, I guess, that's what they really love. And they'll do the dance with you. If you want to connect, they want to connect back. But also I think sometimes people are scared to connect. And that's what sort of stops the connection because they're like, oh, I want to hear, but no, don't scare me. Don't scare me at night. Don't do anything when the lights are off. Like, I feel like people get scared about that, even though they want to connect. So then your spirit team don't know what to do. They're like, I want to show you a sign, but I'm worried you're going to get scared that I'm here. So I'm going to like, I don't know what to do. So if you are scared, just say, hey, don't do anything at night. Okay, because I'm scared at night. Show me something during the day. You just have to tell them because they want to help. They want to be here, but they're also not here to scare you. So I feel like if you have any hesitation, you might not be getting the signs because they want to honor you and what you actually feel deep down. So you have to communicate if you're scared and why you are and what you want them to do about it.
Well, do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
What if the soul of your past loved one is like in a new incarnation in a new body and you can't communicate because they're like having a new lifetime? Then there's just like radio silence?
No. So from what I understand and from what a lot of mediums sort of understand through our connection is your soul is limitless. Your soul sort of splits. It's the only way I can describe
like,
it.
It's sort of like, what's it called? Like shape-shifting or something?
Yeah, kind of. It's sort of like I picture it as like your soul is this big like white ball and this little piece of it can split over here and that little piece of it can split over there. So you will always have your loved ones on the other side around you. If their soul's reincarnating, I guess it's a piece of that. Sort of hard to describe, but yeah, I feel like you can always have them there.
You know, I was in California for 25 years pursuing my dream of being an actress. And, you know, my spirit wanted to be a coach and empower women to go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I moved to the neighborhood that is literally one block from where my mom was raised by my grandma, where my grandma was when she passed, and one block from where my dad raised his first family. And this was like so beyond my wildest comprehension that I would ever move back to Cincinnati, Ohio. And that I'm like one block from two of my most powerful spirit guides. I know they were literally like guiding me here. And now I'm in my dream house. And it's just, and I've only been here like 6 weeks. So I'm just kind of like blown away by how they were able to guide me back here.
Wow. Well, it's not a coincidence. I don't see any of that. That's all like divine timing. And it's interesting too that they waited until you're at this particular point in your life in order to do this for you. So I wonder what sort of shifted in you, in your life, and as a soul, I guess, to be ready right now to, I guess, receive that abundant gift, I guess, that you've just received. It's quite interesting. I always like to think about that.
It was through my husband because he really wanted to move back to Cincinnati. He's like, his soul's like, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be there. And I'm like, really? Cincinnati? Like, I'm so over that place. I grew up there. I want this big glamorous life, like the shows that you love to watch. I want to be like a housewife of Beverly Hills or whatever. He's like, yeah, Cincinnati. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll go with it. Then I started getting signs. The universe started dropping breadcrumbs for me everywhere. Signs like I'd be at a yoga retreat in Mexico and somebody would be wearing like the sports team for Cincinnati in the yoga retreat. I'm like, really? Like in the middle of the jungle, someone's wearing a Cincinnati Bengals t-shirt. Like I was getting signs. So it's kind of exactly what you said, being open to... I told the universe I wanted my dream house and then being open to the breadcrumbs of where the dream house was. And now I'm living in it and loving it. So.
Oh, I love that. And how different of a person you would be coming full circle too. Like when you left there and, you know, how different are you now, like compared to that so little girl growing up, you know? It's kind of cool. Full circle moment.
It is. I'm even like 5 minutes from my high school. Like it's really like so full circle. Like it's, I think life can be really circular.
I agree.
And I don't think of it as going, part of me, like my egoic self was like, I'm going backwards. I wanted like this bigger life and now I'm going back home. But I think of it now as being grounded.
Yes, I love that. And it's interesting too, because I actually studied psychology when I came out of school. So I have a degree in psychology. And the reason why I didn't pursue it was because I thought that I wouldn't be able to handle like hearing people's stories and their grief. And I thought I'd be too sad supporting them in that way. And then full circle, they're like, okay, Jess, well, that wasn't the way you were going to support people in that traditional way. But every single day now, I sit with people in their grief, helping them to deal with that and to find closure and peace. Isn't that funny? Like, I was always called to it, but I just had to do it in a different way. So it's all very interesting.
It is all about being open and trusting the signs and also just doing the next right action, like not getting too ahead of yourself. And I really feel that that is how the universe works. And I know you deal with a lot of grief because when people are speaking to their passed on loved ones, it's just such an emotional reunion, even if it's, or even joy. People could be so joyous as well as grieving because it's so emotional. You have a very famous hack that went viral on the internet. And I want you to tell everybody about the viral lime hack. What is that?
Yes. So I had a really terrible experience with, I call it like a dark entity was attached to me. I ended up waking up abruptly like one morning, really early in the morning. And my wife had already gone to work. So I heard her go. And then I felt like someone was in the room and I was like, this is strange. I feel like maybe she might be coming home. Maybe she's not well. So I kind of just stayed asleep and was facing like the other side of, I wasn't facing the door. So I didn't really know. I was just feeling. Anyway, I felt someone sit on the bed. I'm like, okay. Then I felt somebody like come closer to me and like breathe on my neck. Then I felt like this scratch down my back and I was like, I'm like, this is not her. I'm like, oh my God, someone's in my bed. Oh my God. I have to like either like confront them right now or I've got to like run. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I ended up turning around and went to grab them and I had a look and no one was there. And I was like, oh, hell no. It's an exorcism time. So I ran out of bed, got my sage, Palo Santo. I'm like chanting, opening up all the windows and doors. I was like, there's something in here. This is not right. Anyway, so I managed to clear a lot of it. And I went to my kinesiologist the next day and I said, listen, I've had something happen to me. This is not normal. There was some entity in my house. You have to make sure it's not attached to me. So she did her thing. She's like, Jess, I'm just going to try something on you. So she ended up putting a bit of lime essential oil on the bottoms of my feet and I instantly felt relief. And she's like, look, just take a little bit of it home. Just put it on a little cotton swab, put it next to your bed and just in case because it was in the room. Anyway, I'm like, stop this. I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to get a physical lime and I'm going to cut the lime in half with two halves and I'm going to put them next to my bed. So I put the two halves of the lime in a little dish and I slept like a baby. I was like, I am like knocked out. This house feels amazing. I ended up putting limes all over my house. Everything felt crystal clear. Everyone was in a great mood. I'm like, this is crazy.
Wait, were the limes all cut open all over your house?
Yeah. Yeah, in little dishes everywhere. It was like a lime exorcism in this house. Anyway, so ended up sharing it on my socials. I'm like, guys, I had this entity attached to me and it's helped me sleep and you guys have to try these lime stuff. And then it just went viral. All these mums were using it for their kids saying, oh, my God, my kid's sleeping 11 hours now in the night. There's no more monsters.
Just like putting the two halves of the lime next to the kid's bed. Yes. Oh, my God.
I know. So it went absolutely bananas. But then I got people going, oh, but I don't want to put physical fruit in my house. Like, I'll get flies and all that stuff. And so then we started talking, my wife and I, and I ended up creating a new business called The Lime Glow, which is a lime candle to cleanse your home. I've got a kid's diffuser. So if you don't want to put physical limes in, you can put the reed diffuser in. We've got a room spray. Everyone's loving it. It's gone bananas. Who would have thought?
All from that. Buy this lime home accessory line.
Yes, you can go to
your website or?
No, it's a separate website. So it's www.thelimeglow.com. And you can read about my story, what happened. And yeah, this lime stuff, it's legit. I'm telling you. It's crazy. But it works.
And I love the smell of limes. Lime is so refreshing.
It is. And so many cultures have used limes for many years to like rid entities, dark energy. So it's not a new thing. It's just that no one's really talking about it. So now I am.
Garlic, like vampires don't like garlic. But yes, you're bringing the lime thing to the mainstream.
I am. But it works, you know, worth a try, right? It doesn't work. Who cares?
I recently moved into this house. It was from 1898. Wow. And we heard this terrible, terrible banging in the wall. I was like, oh my God, this house is totally haunted. I'm like, I'm going to tell them to go back where they came from. Mm-hmm. I did my sage and all this stuff. So it did, the energy felt better. I wasn't scared, but I still heard this banging in the wall. At night,
we had
a guy come by the house. There was a freaking squirrel in the wall.
No way.
Yes. Then a squirrel died in the wall because I don't know why. Maybe he set a trap or something. It smelled so freaking bad. So one of the squirrels he pulled out like in a cage and he, you know, ethically and morally, like let it free back in nature. But there's still another squirrel. I mean, eventually, you know, he put like, we need lime spray in the wall. He put his, you know, antibiotic stuff, but it's like,
oh my
God. So I have my dream house and I have this like just in one room, which happens to be my husband's closet, the smell of like a slowly decaying squirrel in the wall.
Oh, no, you need the lime spray.
I know. You're going to have to mail me the lime spray for sure. Like
I will.
I've been burning candles, incense, doing everything I can. And that you're going to love this. The guy who got the squirrel out of the wall, they call him the Critter King. So he drives around in a pickup truck with different animals in cages that he's taken out of homes.
Oh my God.
So apparently it's a thing with these big old houses. They get in, like, it was so cold in Cincinnati, Ohio over the winter. They found a way to get in. But yeah, so that was my experience. And my poor stepdaughter, she was so scared because we hadn't caught the squirrel yet. We have like guest rooms in the attic, and she's 20, and she slept on the floor next to us in our master bedroom on the hardwood floor because she was so freaked out. It's been a lot. So I need some lime spray, and I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch with you. So how can they find you online?
Yes. So you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Jessica Lynn Mediumship. Or my website is jessicalynnmediumship.com.
Well, thank you, Jessica, for sharing your gift with the world and helping people learn how to connect with their intuition and with loved ones. And I really appreciate you being on the show. And thank you, listeners. You are sharing this show. This show is going higher and higher and higher in the ratings because you keep sharing it with your friends. So feel free to take a screenshot of me or Jessica, tag us in your stories on Instagram, whether you're listening on the radio, on YouTube, or on Apple or Spotify or any podcast platform. We really, really, really appreciate the support. And stay tuned. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.